All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman. Today is another Fan Talk Friday. I am joined by none other than Kobe Robinson. We're going to be talking about all things Falcons, injuries, expectations, this upcoming Bengals game, and much, much more.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for a very long time at FalcFans.com. You can find me on Twitter at FalcFans. And, of course, I am the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today I'm joined by Kobe Robinson for another Fan Talk where we get your perspectives, you the listeners, the people, on all things Atlanta Falcons. Welcome to the show, Kobe.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, Kobe. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How about yourself? It's been, you know, been a long time. We try to catch up with each other in the summertime.
Yeah. You first emailed me back in May, I think, like, after the draft. And we were supposed to do something, like, in mid-June or something. And it just kept getting our wires crossed. And so, you know, but now we got, you know, stuff to talk about other than, you know, what do we think about this draft pick? Or what do we think about, I don't even know, like, what was going on, Terrell McLean or something, whatever was happening back then.
Right.
So, you know, real games are actually happening and whatnot. So let's jump right into it. Obviously, the big sort of issue surrounding the Falcons is how beat up they are. You know, they're getting some injuries back. It looks like Tack McKinley is going to come back, play this week. Devontae Freeman was limited in practice, and it looks like he might also play. Derek Shelby's still out, and obviously several players are out for the season, including Keanu Neal, Deion Jones, Ricardo Allen, Andy Levitre. I'm sure I'm forgetting some other people because it's, you know, the list
is unfortunately
very long.
Unfortunately.
So what are you looking at with these injuries and sort of do you feel like the team is a little bit snake bitten?
Well, I have been an avid, you know, listener of your podcast for the last few months, and I noticed, you know, you kind of mentioned it in the summertime that we really haven't been, you know, bitten by injuries for a long time. So I actually kind of had it in my back of my mind that this was going to actually creep up on us eventually. So, you know, I'm not really too surprised or very disappointed. But what I can say is that I do like our coaching staff. I believe that they're excellent motivators. And I just think that, you know, I think we need to give them time, maybe by week 10. If we're not together by week 10, then we can actually sit there and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, this defense not going to get it done this year. But, you know, I think by week 10, everybody should be comfortable playing with each other. We should have some camaraderie. Hopefully, Sarkisian can keep the offense going the way it's been going the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's a pretty good perspective there, Kobe. It is one of those things where it's like, I don't, you know, I think they obviously have issues that they're going to have to overcome over these next couple of games. They're going to really have to lean heavily on the offense, being able to put up probably, you know, at a minimum 28 points a game, if not much more than that, to sort of win some of these games because it's going to be shootouts. But yeah, I think you're right with in terms of the coaching staff getting these guys together and whatnot, trying to figure out a ways so that all these young guys can gel. And even though you mentioned sort of like mentioning in the summer, like, oh, you know, the Falcons have been pretty lucky with injuries. Even I was thinking like, oh, they'll probably get hit by injuries more than what we expect. But like the level that we've been hit so far in this first 3 weeks of the season even blew me away. Like we've had basically a season's worth of injuries in 3 weeks. So one hopes that all that is past us and the rest of the team will stay relatively healthy. But you never know.
Yeah, hopefully, man. You know, the funny thing is we're actually a team that's, you know, relying heavily on our offense. You know, I feel like if our offense is doing well enough, it might cover up some of the deficiencies we have on defense. Certain games. This game coming up against Cincinnati, I think we might be able to get by. Now, Cincinnati, they have a real, real good defensive line. So, you know, running the ball, I really don't think that's really an option. So we're going to really have to air the ball out.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting because, like, you know, we've seen teams go against the Falcons and you know, basically like, oh, we don't have the defense that can handle this offense, so we're going to control the ball, we're going to slow the game down, and you kind of wonder if the Falcons are going to have to start playing that way as opposed to sort of, you know, the high-flying, let's chuck it deep to Julio, let's chuck it deep to Calvin Ridley type of offense that we've seen. recently, and sort of we got used to seeing, you know, in 2016 and whatnot. So I am going to be curious to sort of see if we're going to have to be a little bit more, not necessarily conservative, but a little bit, you know, be sort of that classic, you know, let's establish the run, let's, you know, try to be a balance, all those sorts of things, so that we don't get into this situation where our defense is playing, you know, huge chunks of time and we'll be able to control the ball and whatnot. So it's going to be an interesting mix these upcoming weeks to see how they do.
Yeah, definitely. Because if I'm not mistaken, you're in New York right after Cincinnati, correct? Or is it Tampa?
I think it's Pittsburgh.
Actually, Pittsburgh. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, see, that's another team that likes to throw the ball around the yard. So, yeah, the defense, you know, the defense is going to really have to step up. But I just, you know, I know a few Falcons fans in the area. And, you know, like I've been telling them, people just be patient. Don't, you know, don't get too frustrated. Like you said, we've been hitting with season worth of injuries, you know, two seasons worth of injuries. Our three main starters on defense are gone for the year, so... You know, it's going to be tough, but, you know, I really do think we can get through it. At worst, I see us being a 7-9, 8-18.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where I'm at. Like, if they can't get it together these next couple of games, like, I feel like, you know, they got Cincinnati, they got Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, and I think the Giants. Those are the next four. And I feel like, right. You know, they need to win at least two of those games. I think if they only win two, they'll be fine. Obviously, if they can win more than that, that would be great. I don't expect them to go 4-0 in this run, but... You know, who they lose to, you basically can flip a coin and figure it out. Because, you know, you know how this team goes. The team that you think they're going to beat, they don't beat. And the team that you...
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if they can... I think the schedule does ease up a little bit after the bye week. A little bit, just because you don't have as many teams that are known for their big-time offenses. I think this little run right here is probably going to be... If the defense can, I think, get through this four-game span, I think they'll be fine. So... What you said earlier about like week 10 or so, I feel like they'll be okay if they can get through this little stint right here.
Definitely, man. You know, Deion Jones is possibly coming back. You know, that's going to be big for our defense when he comes back because he really is the leader of the middle of the defense.
Yes.
I saw that his rookie year, I saw it last year, and I can see it this year. He's been getting better each year. So, you know, it'd be real big for us if we can get him back late in the season, especially if we're playing for playoff, you know, football.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that works out. Hopefully he'll, I think at the Dallas game, I think that's week 11 is when he can come back, the earliest he can come back. So yeah, they just got to sort of tread water defensively until then. And I know, you know, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about whether they can do that. And I do want to talk to you about that, but I want to let the people know that, you know, if you are one of these people that aren't as positive about the Falcons' chances this year, why don't you get prepared for next season by checking out the Locked On NFL podcast with hosts John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So, Kobe, you know, one of the big issues that people have been questioning the Falcons with and became a big deal, at least this morning, at least when I jumped on Twitter, was that the Falcons did not sign Eric Reed, and he wound up signing with the Carolina Panthers today. I'm curious, sort of, were you in the camp of folks that were like, this is a move that needs to happen, and I'm going to start to question Dan Quinn if they don't make this move, as so many opinions have seemed to suggest elsewhere within this fan base?
Well, to be honest, I knew we weren't going to go after Eric Reed. If we go after anybody, it's going to be, you know, some... probably a low-level player, maybe just a backup, you know, a role player that can come in and give us a couple snaps, but it's not going to be anybody that can start. I would never say that we should get rid of Dan Quinn. Not right now. I listened to a couple of your podcasts ago, and you always talk about how Dan Quinn's a good coach, but you don't feel like he develops the players, you know, to their full extent, and I do agree with you on that. I really do agree with you on that, because I feel like Grady Jarrett and Vic Beasley could be a lot better than they are. But I don't think they're getting the proper development. With that being said, I've been through a lot of years of bad football with Atlanta. Dan Quinn has had a stable for the last 4 years. I would never sit here and be like, let's get rid of Dan Quinn because he didn't go out and get, you know, Eric Reed, who we really don't know, you know, how much he's going to really contribute to, you know, to Carolina. You know, so, you know, no, I'm not really mad about it. Do I think we need to add some depth? I really do think we should add some depth.
Yeah. I think, you know, with the Eric Reed thing, when we first heard that Keanu was hurt, I was like, oh, Eric Reed makes too much sense. They should go out and get him. But I think
too much sense.
But, like, it's one of those things where I can't remember the timetable, how it went down with learning about Keanu. Then at a certain point, I think it was like in, like, 24 to 72 hours when I heard, basically when there was nothing heard on that sort of Eric Reed front, at that point in time, I was like, oh, they're not going to sign Eric Reed, you know. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I didn't think it was a, you know, I think it would have been a good move for the Falcons, but at a certain point when you know something is not going to happen, it's like sitting there, you know, making yourself miserable because something's just not going to happen. It just kind of got over it. So good for Eric Reed, good for the Panthers. You know, I'm glad he's getting another opportunity back in the league. And fortunately, I guess we won't play the Panthers till much later in the season. So I don't think we have to worry about him.
Yeah, my roommate's actually a Carolina Panthers fan, so, you know, he's very happy about it. I'm like, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
What that does for you guys, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
I think it's interesting because you mentioned Dan Quinn, and it's like, I've seen a lot of people going at Dan Quinn for not signing Eric Reed or buying too much into Jordan Richards, as if, like, Dan Quinn and the Falcons under him have this, like, habit of sort of, like, twiddling their thumbs when it comes to adjusting the roster, which is, like, not the case at all. Like, this is, like, the first time, I guess, that has happened where the Falcons didn't really go out there and make a substantial move. But, we, you know, the most famous example was them going out and getting Andy Levitre, you know, 3 years ago when they offensive line. So it's not as if this team is, like, you know, habitually, like, sitting there looking at the roster and be like, oh, yeah, we're perfectly fine. And it's like, it seems like a lot of people are, like, acting like that's been the norm. And I just think, you know, Dan Quinn has, I wouldn't necessarily say I agree with everything he said. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, I'm constantly complaining about some of the things that they do. But, like, it's one of those things where generally, more often than not, he knows what he's doing. So he does deserve some benefit of the doubt when it comes to some of these things.
Yeah, man, that's, like I said, man, I've been an Atlanta fan since 2000, couple years right after the Super Bowl against Denver. You know, we got Michael Vick in 2001. We had, was it Dan Reeves?
Yeah.
We had Dan Reeves, correct? Yeah, we had Dan Reeves. So we had a couple good years of coaching. Then we got Jim Moore Jr., and then we got
Bobby Petrino, yeah. I didn't know if you were mentioning him because you just refused to acknowledge his existence, or you just forgot on
it. Bobby Petrino. So, I mean, you know, my whole point is, like, you know, we haven't really had stable coaching, and I believe Dan Quinn, you know, he's a stable coach. He'll be here for a while. You know, as fans, you know, because I'm going to be honest with you, I really did think we would probably make the Super Bowl this year. I thought this was probably our year to go and win it. You know, to be quite honest, when we went a couple of years ago, I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, but in the back of my mind, I knew we weren't going to win that. We're one of those teams that once we get over one wall, we have to strive to get over the next wall. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we can't just go straight through the wall. There's always a hurdle in front of us. So, you know, but Dan Quinn knows what he's doing. He really does know what he's doing. I can really say he knows what he's doing.
Okay. Like, I felt differently. I felt like that Super Bowl was ours for the taking. And this year was not going to be a Super Bowl year. This year was kind of be like, just make the playoffs, probably get bounced in the first or second round. And then next year, I think, is more likely to be sort of their year. But
I could have been a year off. I mean, you know, they're definitely a Super Bowl team waiting, you know, and waiting. They're definitely a team that can get to the Super Bowl. They just have to get over the mental hurdles, and, you know, personally, I believe that Matt Ryan is very underrated. I believe he's a very underrated quarterback. I think last year that Sarkisian put him in bad situations. You know, he's not real good at throwing outside the numbers. He's really good inside the hashes. So I think we need to concentrate more on getting the ball inside the hashes. Use Hooper a little bit more, maybe use really a little bit more in the middle of the field. But, other than that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like the developments that Sark is doing with the offense. I like that certain things are improving. I like the fact that we have three tight ends in the offense again. I like the fact that we're using the fullback, even though if the fullback play isn't great, but it's not terrible. I like that, you know, they're not necessarily limiting Ridley to gadget plays like they did with Gabriel last year.
Yeah, which was very annoying.
You know, I think Hooper has been, you know, I think last week was probably the quietest game he's had.
I believe so.
I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head. But, like, he had a big impact in the Carolina game, and I like that, you know, I think we can continue to see that and whatnot. So I think, you know, Sark has made strides. The question is going to be if he can sort of maintain this momentum that he's got over these last two games, or are we going to get, you know, or is it just like last year where we got, you know, we got a little momentum at the beginning of the year and then we sort of hit this wall and it took us like 6 weeks to sort of break out of that, you know? So I think that's going to be the interesting thing with this offense. And I think if they can sort of keep it going, and I think they should, because I don't think any of these teams, like I think Cincinnati is probably the toughest defense we'll face in these next couple of games. So I feel like if they can take care of business against Cincinnati, you know, Pittsburgh can't stop anybody. We know Tampa Bay can't stop this offense. And the Giants defense, you know, while has some good pieces on it, hasn't quite lived up to what they were a couple of years ago.
With the Giants, I would say we should probably wait and see.
Why you say that?
They're a sneaky team. I believe that I think a lot of it is their coaching, and I think, you know, Eli, obviously, I think he really probably should retire, but we should wait and see, because like you said, the defense was really good 2 years ago. They are only missing, I think, DRC. He's the only one that's gone now, right?
That sounds right,
yeah. It sounds about right. Yeah, I think they're pretty much the same team. I think they're still trying to get things together right now. So the Giants, I would say we should watch them. It's not going to be an easy game.
Well, yeah. I mean, you say that, and I'm like thinking back of all the times where I thought the Giants were going to be pushovers when we played them, and then the Falcons wound up losing. It seems like the Giants always, because I remember I go back all the way to Eli's rookie season where the Giants were struggling. Eli was terrible his rookie season, and then the Falcons come to town, and I don't know if it was his first win of the season, but all of a sudden that offense started to click and whatnot, and it was like, oh my god, like what is happening with this Falcon team?
Yeah, it's always us, right?
Yeah, and that was the year we went to the NFC Championship in 2004. So it wasn't like we were just like this bad team. We were like, I don't know, like 9-2 or something like that at that point, and we lost to the Giants.
Yeah, we actually were 9-2. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy how the Giants always seem to show up when we play them for some reason.
Yeah, definitely.
We might be in the midst of an NFL season, but that also means that NBA season is not that far away. Want to give a shout out to the host of Locked On Hawks, Brad Rowland. Check him out to find out all the latest on what's going on with your Atlanta Hawks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some, you know, Kobe, are there any other thoughts that you wanted to share with the listeners?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I had a lot really to say in the summertime. I feel like through the last couple of fan talks, everybody pretty much answered my questions and said everything I needed to say. I'm just really more on a wait. I'm going to wait and see what's going to happen this season.
Okay.
I feel really good about the offense right now. Hopefully, like you said, they can be consistent and keep it up. The defense, you know, it is what it is. You got to deal with it. I feel like, you know, a football game is three phases. If we can win special teams and offense, we should be able to win a few games.
Yeah.
We're probably not going to win on defense. But special team and offense, we should be able to do that.
I agree 100%. I'm trying to think of any other news that has happened in the last couple of days that maybe we could talk about. No, I think that's it.
Devontae's back at practice.
that's good. If he plays this weekend, I'll feel a lot more confident going into this game. Because I feel like this game, like I think everybody's sort of like, oh yeah, Pittsburgh's good and we could hiccup up against them. And Tampa Bay's a division game and they look like they've sort of started to figure things out offensively and whatnot. And then, you know, the Giants are the Giants or whatever. And I feel like people are overlooking this Bengals team. And I'm like, I think this Bengals team could be very sneaky against us.
Yeah. Because to be honest with you, I really believe that we have a better chance of maybe beating Pittsburgh than Cincinnati. The only thing is we're going to Pittsburgh, so, you know, that's definitely a negative for us. But Pittsburgh can't stop anybody at all.
Yeah.
They cannot stop anybody at all. Fitzpatrick threw them three picks on Monday, and he still threw for 400 yards and three touchdowns, and they almost came back and won the game.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying, you know, Pittsburgh, they're in a weird place right now. They kind of, you know, Pittsburgh is kind of sort of similar to us right now.
Yeah.
Except for they really don't have the injuries. They're just not that great on defense for whatever reason.
I agree 100%.
So I would definitely say we should watch out. And, you know, Drake Kirkpatrick, I was reading something earlier. He's looking up for this match against Julio. Not saying he can check Julio. I don't believe anybody in the league can check Julio one-on-one. But, you know, the taller cornerbacks, you know, they like to get real physical with him. And the referees, for whatever reason, I guess because he's Julio, they don't want to really throw the flag like that. So, you know, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup on Sunday.
All right. Well, look, if William Jackson wanted to, you know, say he was looking forward to the Julio matchup, I'd be like, okay, yeah, William Jackson's actually good. Drake Kirkpatrick's not good.
Drake Kirkpatrick.
Not good, man. He wasn't good at Alabama. Yeah, he's not good in Cincinnati.
He's yapping, so, you know.
Hey. Hey, look, there's a history of yappy cornerbacks talking about Julio coming to town and not
he
looking so good.
He just goes out and gets 150 yards.
Yes, easy. He's going to do that stare down that he did to King Crawley in the Saints game. After he caught that 58-yarder, and just look at him, step over, do the Iverson step over.
Right.
Well, Kobe, I appreciate you coming on and chat with me. I think you got a good perspective on things, and I say that because it's similar to my own. I think you got to have some patience with the defense and just hope the offense can sort of keep things moving these next couple of games and. We'll just take it one week at a time.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm just very realistic. Like, you know, I'm not going to go and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to win every game this season and go straight to the Super Bowl. You know, I'm realistic.
Yeah.
Realistically speaking. Even if everybody was healthy with the way the NFC is, it would have been very hard for us to get there. So, you know, it's okay. Maybe, you know, we go 7-9, we get a mid-round draft pick, and hopefully we can get a top-tier pass rusher this year.
I think
that really helped us out a lot.
Yeah, well, look, man, you can look for the silver lining in anything. So if that's what we got to do, then that's what we got to do.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah. So, well, you know, let the people know if I know you're not necessarily big in social media, but if people want to hit you up, where can they if they want to talk more Falcons with you?
Yeah, man, definitely. You can just hit me up on Facebook at Kobe Robinson. I'm just on Facebook. I don't really do any other social media. But, yeah, definitely, I talk Falcons, any Falcons fans. I love talking football. Just at Kobe Robinson.
All right, man. I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, my bad on basically you waiting, you know, what, 3 months to get on the show. I'll own up to that one.
It's cool, man. It's cool. It's cool.
And
you're both busy, man. Trust me, I understand.
Okay. Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man, and certainly look forward to chatting with you in the future. I know probably via email and whatnot, so don't be a stranger and whatnot. If you have any Falcon thoughts and takes, I'll be more than willing to listen to them via email and whatnot.
Yeah, man, definitely. I definitely would like to come back on probably, you know, towards the end of the season. Definitely, you know, see what the team is, you know, talk more about it.
All right, well. Look, you know, I got like a list of like 5 people right now for Fan Talk. So, you know, there's more than 5 games left. So I'll put you on the list. So, you know, that will definitely make that happen.
Man, yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, Kobe, I appreciate it, man. And have a good night.
You too, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Another Fan Talk in the books. Back Monday. Talk about this Bengals game. I think this is going to be a... You know, I think people are sleeping on the Bengals a little bit just because I think that defense is really good. I think, you know, I would make the argument, you know, that the Bengals might have the second best defense that we'll face this year. You know, I say that now, you know, maybe Baltimore. I don't know how good Baltimore's defense is, but like some of these teams I just think are going to be, you know, I think Philadelphia and I think. Let me just say this. I think Bengals can make an argument that the Bengals are number 2 in terms of toughest defense the Falcons are going to face this year. And part of the reason why I'm not necessarily, like, I think the Falcons can win this game. If you guys listen to the crossover on Wednesday, then you know I think the Falcons can win. If they do certain things, if they take care of business, they can win this game. And they might wind up winning this game by 2 or 3 scores if they take care of business. So, if the Falcons wind up winning 41-17, don't come at me being like, ha, you thought the Bengals were going to be a tough and whatever. No, that's if they win 41-17, I guarantee you they probably did everything that we talked about them needing to do on Wednesday. So it's not as if I don't think they can take care of business this week. But it is one of those things that one of the concerns I had, and we talked about this going into the week three game, was like the Saints and the Falcons. The Saints are even matchup team. They're both teams that are primarily skill position related. And what became an issue for me is watching the Saints sort of control the Falcons in the line of scrimmage, which is one of those things where it's like, you know, we talked about on yesterday's Q&A how the Falcons only had like four disruptions. I think the Saints had like 8 or 9 or 10 disruptions in terms of their defensive line. You talk about how, you know, the Falcons couldn't run the ball against the Saints, but the Saints had like a success rate of like 50% and the Falcons had a success rate of like less than 20%. This is what I'm talking about, where it's like when you have like in the Falcons dominate in the skill positions, but when a team can assert their will in the trenches, that's when the Falcons have problems. And this has been the case going back years and years and years. And one of the things that concerned me was I didn't think the disparity between the Saints and the Falcons was as big as it seemed to be on Sunday. And I think looking at the talent, particularly on the Bengals defensive line, they are a much more talent-laden defensive line than the Saints are. The Saints basically have Cameron Jordan, Sheldon Rankins is good, David Onyemata is good, you know, Marcus Davenport is talented, but there's no reason those four guys could have did what they did, Alex Okafor as well, against the Falcons, given our talent level as well. And I think the Bengals have more talent. And so it is a concern to me that if the Saints were able to, you know, quote-unquote dominate them in the trenches to the degree that they did, what is Cincinnati going to be doing? And that's what is concerning to me. But hopefully the Falcons, you know, can bounce back similar to what we saw in that Philadelphia to Carolina game. They get challenged in practice this week, all those sorts of things. And they step it up. You know, this being a home game gives me a little bit more confidence than I would if this was, you know, a game going into Cincinnati, because this would be sort of the classic trap game where you're worried, you're looking ahead at the Steeler game and not paying attention to this tougher Bengals team than I think a lot of people think. So we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping Monday's podcast is not, you know, well, I told you guys this game was going to be tough. It's more like, hey, I thought this game was going to be tough, but hey, give it to Sark, give it up to Duke Riley, give it up to whoever it is, you know, Desmond Trufant, whoever makes the plays that wind up winning the game. That's what I hope to say on Monday. So long story short, that's basically what I say. So be back Monday with the rapid reaction. Of course, if you want to do a fan talk in the future, you can send your email to lockedonfalcons@mail.com, just like Kobe did. Hopefully you won't have to wait 3 months for me to respond and get you on the podcast like Kobe had to do. But if you send those in, as I said earlier, you can probably be on a fan talk within probably a month or so. So just send those in. Let me know what your contact information. If you have a phone number, that works. If you don't have a phone number, I mean, if you have a Skype account, that's ideal for me. If you don't have Skype, phone number works just fine. And give me an idea of sort of maybe some potential topics that you want to discuss, an idea of when your availability is, you know, during the day, at night, what days, you know, weekends, whatever the case may be. And we'll try to figure out a way to get this thing done for a future fan talk. So until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.